all-out battle for the city of Aleppo, one of the oldest cities in the world, and this battle between rebel forces and the government of Syria, one of the biggest in the unrest so far. That's the sound of rebels firing anti-aircraft artillery into the air in Aleppo. The city normally has a population of 2 million people. It's Syria's largest city. It's the commercial capital of Syria. But the United Nations says 200,000 people have fled in just a couple of days. Ian Pinnell, a correspondent for our partner at the BBC, is in Aleppo covering the fighting. He filed this report.
It's not even 8 o'clock in the morning, and for the last 3 hours, we've heard the constant sound of artillery booms, of gunfire, some in the distance, some much closer by. We're out onto what should be one of the main thoroughfares, effectively a dual carriageway. And there's almost no traffic as I look in both directions. You can see the burnt-out wreckage of tanks in one area. You can see the burnt-out wreckage of government buses in the other, a mark of the fighting that's happened here. The only traffic, really, that we've seen on the streets has been effectively, families fleeing the fighting, tightly packed into the back of trucks, children looking scared and parents desperate to get out of the city.
There's shooting everywhere, shelling everywhere, explosions, bombings. It's been horrifying for the last few days.
The chaotic sound you can hear is a bread queue. To one side, round the corner of this street, I can see a line stretching, I guess probably about 300 metres of men. And if I walk round the corner, I can see a line of women, all wearing headscarves. We were told that yesterday no bread was available. Today there is. And as you would expect, there's a real sense of urgency to get your hands on these warm, flat loaves.
A lot of people are suffering from a lack of food, lack of water. Many people are sleeping without even a meal. Everyone is suffering. There are many poor people nowadays.
Man's just leaning over an iron fence now and dropping 4 bags of these loaves. A small smile on the face of the lady, a small victory in otherwise terrible circumstances. At the nearby rebel base, fighters were loading their weapons. The battle for Aleppo has begun, and the government has deployed thousands of troops backed by tanks, artillery and aircraft to try and reclaim these neighbourhoods. We went with a small unit of fighters trying to stop the army's advance. They edged nervously along one side of a flyover as it tapered back down to the ground, shots flying from both sides. There was no more cover, and one by one, we sprinted across the dual carriageway to a wall on the other side.
The rebels have now moved up because the government's been trying to push into this area. It's a very confused situation. We know there are snipers all around here because it's an urban area. The sounds ring out. And the truth is that they're still very, very lightly armed. They can skirmish, certainly, but they can't resist overwhelming force. The mood here is just unbelievably tense.
Allahu Akbar! Hadi!
One of the commanders from the base had been shot and was lying in the ditch, bleeding to death. A pickup truck tore forwards as the rebels tried to lift him onto the back under fire. Blood poured from the man's head and ran down his leg as he was hauled in. The fighters withdrew, taking the wounded commander back to base for emergency treatment. It was too late. We saw many fighters killed and injured. There have been deaths on the government side too. Above all, it's been civilians who are dying. This is just the start of the battle for Aleppo, and it's impossible to predict the outcome. But it'll shape the destiny of President Assad, the revolution he faces, and the Syrian nation. And it'll leave countless more bleeding and dying.
Extraordinarily vivid there. Ian Pinnell, a correspondent for our partner, the BBC, reporting from Aleppo. Joining me now is special correspondent for the Washington Post, Babak Daghanpasheh, who's been reporting on the conflict from Beirut. Babak, how will we know one way or another whether Syria, the government, retakes Aleppo or if the rebels can hold out and actually create a Benghazi-style rebel stronghold?
Well, at the moment, I think the rebels have essentially carved out what amounts to a safe area in that area outside of Aleppo City itself in the northwestern part of the country. And when we are hearing reports from activists and from the fighters that they claim to be controlling, a number of neighborhoods within the city. But when this assault, I mean, as you heard in that report, there is, the fighting in the city is escalating. I think if and when the government does a full assault and if they are able to push the rebel fighters out of the city, I think the evidence will be quite clear, as was in the battle in Damascus. We're going to see a lot of neighborhoods ruined and, a lot of civilians potentially being killed.
Is the city of Aleppo literally emptying out? The UN report of 200,000 on the run, that's likely to increase.
It certainly appears that way, right? That's quite a disturbing report to have that many people on the move at the same time. And it's also, a clear sign that the fighting is ramping up. Also, in Damascus, we were seeing the same thing. There were, thousands of people who fled the heavy fighting there in the past week or 10 days or so. Many of them fled across the border to Jordan, here to Lebanon. There was up to 25 or 30,000 people that crossed the border within a matter of days. So I think the neighboring countries are bracing for more of an influx of these refugees as the fighting steps up in Aleppo.
Turkey has had more than just a passive role here in the unrest in Syria. Are they likely to embrace these refugees, ask for support from the international community, or would they turn them away as a way of trying to destabilize Bashar al-Assad? Can't tell what the Turkish are going to do here.
They've managed to actually, house the refugees and care for them quite effectively so far. Turkey is quite a large country, with a very organized infrastructure. The Jordanians, on the other hand, don't seem to be as well prepared in receiving the refugees yet. But they did announce that they're building a refugee camp to house, this new influx soon.
Lots to talk about. Neighboring nations dealing with the unrest in Syria. That's Babak Daghanpasheh, special correspondent for The Washington Post.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.